Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli. Richard Barsett on the buttons, and today we've got the white coats on as we attempt to boost our popularity with our own grumpy, irascible Dr. House-style resident MD.
Which Smurf do you think looks the tastiest?
The New Zealand police, we show them an arse and an elbow and see what they can come up with.
We've had Joy Buttress, Phil Minge, now meet the newest letters to the editor, Sensation.
How hard is it to start your own political party?
Tim Zura lifts the lid on the Sheffield Shield.
Once again, and Richard Marsden fans, we know you're out there. Keep your dialing fingers ready for the return of Dick's Box.
Radio's most shonky prizes.
They're all here and sitting in for the second hour, writer of the Saw movies, Lee Whannell, and you could win our panel operator's right leg.
Tony was there the day Jesus had his moment of doubt and pain. Tony is pleased to meet you. Woo-woo. He hoped you can guess his name. Woo-woo.
Yes, it's all coming up on Get This, where we've got not one, but four new ideas today. Ooh. Yeah, what do you reckon they'll do?
File, 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 yeah. File.
Vote of confidence.
Great word.
It's Triple M. Get this. If you leave, that's OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark here at Get This. Around the Nation on Triple M. I think that was from Pretty in Pink, wasn't it?
Fine soundtrack.
So that makes me Anthony Michael Hall. No, sorry. Other one.
Matt Dillon?
No.
Ducky.
Oh, Ducky.
John Cryer?
I'm not going to be Ducky.
John Cusack's in that, isn't he?
James Spader. I was thinking of Andrew McCarthy, actually.
We're often
mistaken for each other.
Samantha Mathis, is she in that one?
She is.
Okay. We're out of the blocks. We've lost everybody. That's what we do at the beginning of the show.
Courtney Thorne-Smith isn't. So don't get it out and expect to see her.
Who are these people talking rubbish? Well, it'd be myself, Tony Martin.
Too clever by half.
We've got Ed Cavalli.
Too cute by half.
And Richard Marsland.
Too cunning by half.
That's pushing true. Buttons. Very true.
Whoops.
Very true. No, I think maybe less talk of obscure 80s icons and more things that people want to hear about.
Okay.
What about characters on this show?
Yeah.
People love, you know, popular recurring characters.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been working on?
Oh, like a camp Hollywood reporter.
Oh.
People love that.
Great.
Because it's easy. Once you've got one of them, the only three words you need to know are ooh and Lindsay Lohan. I can have a whole career doing, ask me anything, Tone. Ask me anything about anything.
What's going on with Hollywood and Britney Spears?
Oh, Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, very good. I'm up to date now. Richard, are you working on a character at all?
There was some drunken leprechaun talk at the start of the year. I remember we talked about that.
Yeah.
Fiddle-dee-dee, I think that was his name.
Really?
That was basically his catchphrase as well. Yeah. Introduce himself and...
It was Sheikh Shillelagh you were working on.
Sheikh Shillelagh.
The Irish Mufti. That never caught on. We need stuff. You know what people like? No, they like? That thing that comes on after Thank God You're Here. Dr. House.
It's very hot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I haven't seen a lot of Dr. House. What's the gimmick? How does it work?
Oh, he's got a limp.
Yeah, okay, it must be more to it than
he's
that.
He's got a limp and a beard,
yeah,
and they imply that he's on the gear, but he's a doctor.
I don't know, do they? But isn't he sort of at the coalface of discovering new diseases and new viruses? Is that true?
But he's sort of antisocial and grumpy.
That's
isn't
right.
He's got a beard.
So he has qualities that normally people hate.
Yeah, that's it.
But because he's a good surgeon, a good doctor.
Yeah, he's just too damn good.
People like him.
Yeah.
We need one of those. Coming soon to Get This. He's the antisocial maverick doctor who turns conventional medicine on its head. You may not like his bedside manner, but you'll love Kenny G, MD.
Damn it. In all my years as a diagnostic surgeon, I've never come across a case like this.
We're getting no response, Doctor.
Oh, damn it. Google it again.
Okay.
There has to be something out there.
Doctor, the patient's going into convulsions. What do we do?
I don't know. What do you think, Kenny G?
Well, see what you think of this.
No, that's no help at all.
Doctor, we're losing him.
Oh, my God.
No, wait. It's... Wait, hang on. Quiet. Shh. Yeah? Yeah, I think I can work with this. Here we go.
Doctor G, I think we're...
No, look, it's working. It's working. He's coming round.
All right.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, wait, look. No,
No, he's flatlining. Please, we're losing him.
No, wait. This is good. I can get this note. Hold on. Here we go.
Come on, breathe, damn it. Come on.
You can do it.
Come on, man. Come on, live, damn you.
That's incredible.
That's great.
That's amazing.
You've done it again, Dr. G.
High-powered medical drama and easy-listening smooth jazz together at last in Diagnosis Clarinet. Coming soon to Get This.
I don't know. Will that be popular? Is that going to catch on? I think we've had enough, Kenny G, please.
You sure?
Could you drop a sandbag on him? Do something, sure. Mr. Barza, please. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily going to be a vote winner here at Get This.
Who did the convulsions acting? Very good convulsions acting. The first line of that is, the patient's gone into convulsions. In comes Kenny G as the listeners go into convulsions right along with them.
All right. I think that's enough easy listening jazz. Does that count as a song, Nikki?
If we're playing Kenny G in here, what are they listening to in elevators? Richard's Vengabus?
Possibly. Something else. Some music. Here at Get This on Triple M. Here at Get This on Triple M. What were you singing along to that during the song, Richard?
Isn't there a bit of the lyric in that song, one of these things is not like the other? Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
Sounds like maybe they've just, they haven't actually taken a melody, but certainly the lyrics sound similar.
So Dave Grohl's been hanging around
Sesame Street.
On the street, pinching ideas.
Brought to you by the letter F. Yeah. New Foo Fighters album.
You'll see him dressed as a chef falling down some stairs with some pastries next. I used to love that bloke.
Who is that?
This guy was a 10 strawberry shortcakes and fell down some stairs.
I heard he had a stunt double for some of the prime numbers.
Is that right?
Sorry. Mm. What are we talking about? Richard Marsland.
Yeah. Remember yesterday's show, Tone, when he sexually harassed me?
Yeah, I do remember that.
He said something about me having a beautiful body.
Well, he didn't say beautiful.
He was comparing you to Britney Spears with the sprayed-on abs.
Some scented oils he was throwing my direction.
Sure.
And I said, it was complimentary, I said that you didn't need to spray on abs.
Yeah.
You've got your own.
That's a come-on, where I come from.
I'll keep it
He's wearing a crop top.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so I thought I'll leave it be. This morning, we're sitting in the office, and I'm trying to watch some YouTube, and Rich taps me on the shoulder and goes, there you go, mate, there you go. And I said, oh, thanks, Rich. Hands me two bits of paper. One that says, burglar used vacuum toilet duck as sexual aid.
Yeah.
And then the other one says, staff at a German butcher shop was shocked to discover a customer had hidden two sex toys in a sausage. Then he wandered off.
Okay, so what is that? Is that a guy giving you his two best stories?
Well, I don't know.
For the day, for the show, going...
I thought so, but then he sent me an email later on asking if I wanted to go around to his place for some German sausage and a spot of light cleaning.
That's a bit gay.
All right, thank you.
Richard, I am not a piece of meat. Yeah. I have feelings, all right?
What was that first story? What was the top one that he gave you?
Burglar used vacuum, toilet duck bottle as sexual aid.
See, what we've learned over the course of this is where burglars go wrong is they break into your house and then they stick around to use the facility.
And the other thing that burglars have lost is the stealing things bit.
I know.
They get in and they go, geez, I love a telly, but that toilet duck is giving me the eye. It's giving me the eye.
Have some pizza or have some something out of the fridge.
Yeah. Jeez, what is that on the stove?
Dinner and show. All right, can we just have a round of applause for Matt Dower on the Pots and Pans?
Oh, Sheffield Shield applause.
Who not only had to put together that Kenny G sketch earlier, had to listen to hours and hours of Kenny G.
To find just the right amount of G.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what he's like, Matty D. Mm. Oh, man, I think he's got a website somewhere.
Oh, he's all metal.
Yeah.
He's super metal.
He wakes up to a bit of stink fist.
He does.
In the morning, the clock goes off, stink fist. Bursts the life.
Yeah, just to get him up.
That's what I'm told.
Get him going.
So, yes, Sheffield Shield round for me.
Every time I go into his office, he's just nailing a nail through his arm.
That's what he does.
Just to feel something.
Yeah. I think that's something they're doing in sales.
Is it?
It's a blue sky
motivational.
Someone came up with some insight mining and then nail something to yourself.
Wow.
That's good. I went past the other day. Are we going to get in trouble?
No, they're not here. They're at a negotiations workshop.
There was something going on in the boardroom.
Yep.
And they had like the PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, I love the PowerPoint.
There was about 30 salespeople around the boardroom table. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was on the screen was a picture of Forrest Gump. What's going on there?
This is our target. This man is rich. He got rich in shrimping. He's got a lot of spare cash. He's none too bright. What can we hit him with? Ping pong. What else is he into? Hippie chicks. Come on, work with me. Veterans.
It wouldn't have been. It would have been somebody going, radio is like a box of chocolate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It would have been one of those.
Ouch.
Okay, now they hate us even more.
Yes, they do.
We had a Sheffield Shield round there. Let's dangle a bit of sizzle for the listeners.
Tell you what.
There's something else we do on Get This, if you're new, with the new time slot and all. Mm. We like to have readings from one of the greatest sporting biographies ever written. What's it called?
Tim Zura, The Gloves Are Off, Now for the Facts.
Next on Get This. That'd be Split Ends. Yes, I got you here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. New Zealand. Did you see the New Zealand police, Marsland, on the news last night?
Did they have the police from Police 107 involved?
They did, the very polite New Zealand police. Sorry, Ed, are you just writing a sketch while we're on air?
Yep.
It's going to be a beauty.
Probably.
To do the Little Pumpkin story, I believe.
Oh, yeah, did you see that now? Not making fun of that
story. Of course not.
Story, but the New Zealand cops are very sort of, the car was sitting out there for 7 days, and they're going, well, it's quite a different system. We've got a search warrant in this country. Mm. So I don't know what it is, what is so different about it. They didn't have time to call Interpol. You see the bloke from the American police going, well, if they'd called us, we could have been waiting for this bloke at the airport.
That's what we do.
So I don't know what the system is for getting a search warrant. It's got to be, it's checks and balances.
You've got to get to the top of Mount Doom with it.
You need signatures and triplicate.
You've got 15 signatures. You've got to get Peter Jackson. Yeah. And he's very busy doing a longer version of Kung Kong. So
Voldemort, he's hard to get hold of.
Dave Dobbins out of mobile range. Anna Paquin won't call back. Got to get all these signatures.
All of the All Blacks are in France. They're almost impossible to get hold of. Need all of them. You need all of them.
It's very tricky. We're going to get this guy, though.
That bloke that rode Footshot Flats, where's he? He's hard to get hold of.
Trying to get hold of him is like trying to catch a fish in the Atlantic.
Oh, hang on. What's the South African all of a sudden?
I don't know what
I'm
doing.
Who is that?
That was a New Zealander.
But we will...
Which one?
Go back to the Zapruder footage. I think you'll find North Islander.
We'll catch this bloke. We've got his video. But watch out because he knows Kung Fu.
He does know Kung Fu.
Or at least I feel like we're offending left, right and centre. Okay. People are emailing in about our new time slot. It's generally getting the thumbs up, I find.
Okay.
Gives unemployed people, students, an extra 3 hours to sleep in.
A reason to get up in the afternoon.
We are their breakfast program. So there's Hugh Janus. I just thought I'd say it. It's his real name. He says, has management moved Get This from the lunchtime slot to avoid Ed eating on air? Imagine if that's what it was. Imagine if they had a huge meeting, went, nah, the only way this is going to work, going to have to get in between meals. But there is no between meals for you, Ed.
What's the sound of that, Mr. Hugh Janus? It's food, my friend. Bad luck.
Okay, we need sports. That's what people like on the radio, sports. And who knows more about Sheffield Shield cricket from the mid-1980s? Then Ed Cavalli.
Well, hopefully no one. Yeah. The man is Tim Zura, played 10 times for Australia, as you know, Richard. Yeah. Absolutely distinguished himself in the pre-Greg Dyer, Ian Healy, wicket-keeping era.
Wayne Phillips era. It was around Wayne Phillips. I think he took over from Wayne Phillips.
He did take over
from Flip.
Pumping Wayne Phillips. So we've been taking readings from his amazing autobiography.
That you got for 99 cents at the Salvos.
They talked me up to $2, though. So let's have another reading from the word, from the mind. Oh, Tim Zura. Simon Scuba O'Donnell came up to me and said team coach Bob Simpson had asked him if it was true that I'd stolen a bottle of scotch from the official function the night before. He blew me away with that. I tried to ring Simpson, but he'd gone shopping. That night we had a team fines meeting where they handed out little fines for things like spewing on yourself. I was stewing in the corner and couldn't get into the relaxed atmosphere. When they asked if there were any more fines, I shouted yes and gave Simpson the biggest mouthful of abuse a player ever gave to an official. I demanded he be fined for not having the balls to accuse me himself. The next day, Simpson told us he'd been appointed as an Australian selector for the next 3 years. I turned to Fat Cat and said, I'm finished. Fat Cat turned to me and said, I'm a goner too, mate. I'm a goner too.
Oh, beautiful. And thus spake Timmy Zura. We love that. The gloves are off now for the facts. Look for it in a garage sale near you. Okay, that's sports out of the way. I think we've got to get to sex.
Oh, 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 oh.
Got to get the sex before the kiddies get out of school.
Absolutely,
that's what,
right.
That's what I'm told. Keep it clean. Mm. That'll be next on Get This. That's Scar Tissue from the Red Hot Chili Peppers here at Get This on Triple M. And its new time slot, which as the station likes to tell us, is on Broadway.
It's a hard knock life for us. Okay. It's a hard knock life for us.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've lost everybody somehow.
Gain me.
You're doing some great Mrs. Hannigan there, though.
Thank you very much.
That's great. You're ready to go. Off Broadway.
Yeah, that's right. We're on Broadway.
Off Broadway. On Broadway.
Yeah. I'd just like to point out that even though we're on Broadway, we're still brought to you by the Nissan Navara. What a 4x4.
What a 4x4.
4x4 Australia.
Keeps winning stuff.
Yeah. The Ute magazine. 4x4 Australia. Ute of the year. That's what we're going for. Listen to what they said in their assessment. There are a few vehicles that could have rewritten the rule book as comprehensively as the Nissan Navara.
Yeah.
It's rewritten the rule book in the style of The Gloves Are Off Now for the Facts by Tim Zura. That's what I'm told.
Absolutely right. I think he was a consultant.
Okay, well, is it a special day for fans of the automobile, Mr. Marsden? Some sort of anniversary?
It is, Tony, on this day in 1891. This is true.
The first Ford Model T came off the conveyor belt.
Oh, I think that was later on, wasn't it, in the 1900s?
Fine, it should be like that.
Have nothing to do with the Nissan Navara.
Okay, keep going.
In 1891, the first gasoline-powered car debuted in Springfield, Massachusetts, United States.
Is that right?
I think it's going well, isn't it, the gasoline-powered car?
Oh, I don't know. No, I think it died off for a while. It's making a comeback.
When was the first car? What was that? That was
That's the Ford Model T, I'm sure it was.
Rubbish. Yeah. That was rubbish, that one.
Yeah.
Had to call for roadside service, like, as soon as they got it up and running. Okay. Look, we're not pushing the Model T.
No.
Certainly not doing that. Oh, and I'm glad, you know, that Mr. Costello didn't come in and start talking about racing cars.
Oh, man.
I think that clip is really starting to shit people. I think it is.
Bothering me.
We've had a lot of requests, never play it again.
Okay.
They never want to hear that analogy.
Mm.
But people do love, anniversaries. Isn't it Kim Beazley's last day as an MP today, last day in the House?
That's it.
So he's going to be walking out.
That's true.
There's going to be footage of him walking out. It's our last chance to play his music.
There he goes. Distinguished career.
Thank you, Mr. Beazley.
What's his legacy?
Well, the music, obviously.
Oh, absolutely right, yeah.
That wonderful analogy about the dog's breakfast. Have we got that?
Yeah, we do.
I've heard that they've dedicated a vending machine to him, which is nice.
Okay, we love Kim Beazley's work. And he, you know, the master of the tortured analogy, even more so than the racing car worker, Peter Costello. Remember this?
This is a complete dog's breakfast, an absolute dog's breakfast. And, you know, tossing a few more cans of Powell into the dog's breakfast will not, in fact, make a decent breakfast.
How true it is. And I think we're now passing that theme music on to Stephen Segal.
He's got it now.
Really works with him lumbering up a corridor. Certainly does. Have we got some more sexy kind of music there, Mr. Marsden?
Something like this. I mean, I'm just improvising.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Adrienne Smith has emailed us. She's from Thirroul. Or is that Thirroul?
I think it's Thirroul.
Okay. My name's Adrian. I'm a pharmacist in Thirroul near Wollongong. Can I be your Get This Girl? I think I'm pretty funny. I've seen Short Bus.
Yeah.
I love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
And I'm a top chick.
Okay.
I actually sent Larry David a postcard and got a reply from HBO thanking me for my compliments. How's that? So it's all going quite well.
Yeah.
And see, Ed's drooling.
Yeah.
And there's not even a sandwich in front of him.
A pharmacist, she can get as many jelly beans as she wants.
So she's going to be our Get This Girl? I'm not sure. Maybe she blows it in the final line of the email. Can I send you some of my health-aware rap songs? See, that's a black mark. Health-aware rap songs? Do people want them? Don't think they do.
What a giveaway. What a giveaway. And recently I've been going on, you know, a lot of dates, Tone, and at the end of the night they're always just, we get back to somewhere, it's all going real rather nicely.
Really?
Before you know it, it's the microphones, the hat backwards, the backing track starts. Oh, God, it's another health-aware rap. How long is this going to take?
Most of your dates seem to end with you being tasered. That's what I'm told. Does it go like that bloke in America? Was he a prankster? Who was he, Richard?
I don't know. He might have been a prankster because there was certainly a lot of cameras on hand, but he was asking a bit of a... Well, the question about the Skull and Bone Secret Society there at Harvard.
Yeah, right.
Whether John Kerry was in fact a member along with George W. Bush at around the same time.
And the question went on too long?
Well, apparently it was a bit too sensitive.
See, that's what they needed the Oscars. Speech going too long, just bring out the taser.
I didn't do anything! And don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! I didn't do anything!
Give me one. Yeah.
Give him another.
Take that, short pen.
There you go, Jenny Dench.
Hang on. That footage, though, does remind me of something that happened on this show.
Step four, leave the controller to the chopper at least 5 metres far away.
Now, the antenna's currently touching.
It's electrocuted.
What happened there?
Remarkably similar.
It's like numb. I get flashbacks every time you play that.
All right, let's climb up to a
Although I did see that footage of the guy getting tasered.
Yeah.
And you're going, that's terrible. Let's give him another. That is terrible. Just give him one more. He's still wriggling. He's resisting. Give him one. Give him one the guts. Give him one the bum.
I feel a need to go a climb, and that'll be next on Get This.
People want ducks.
That's Matchbox 20 with additions from our panel operator, Richard Marsland. How far we've come here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. I'd just like to point out the bacon-filled returns today. We've had a bit of a sorbet of a podcast on Monday. Just 20 minutes of the Mercado cast.
Yep.
That's really only for people who are into obscure old Australian TV shows.
Merely to balance the palate before we get back into the next course.
Then 127 went up last night. Chock. Oh, what is in it? Good question.
What are we talking?
Madonna's Purple Penetrator. Okay, can't remember that.
Yep.
All right. How do you know when it's time to go home? Cavalli versus Funniest. Who's snubbing us now? In my day, John Howard's offer to retire. If you're not listening in Adelaide, you'll be able to hear that again in the next hour,
Fantastic.
Hopefully. And, of course, Greg Fleet, bit of his incoherent nonsense.
Not bad.
It is Get This, where, yes, Ed Cavalli is giving the Prime Minister a genital sponge bath.
I think he's been incredibly generous, and I thank him very warmly.
Hang on a second. Doesn't Richard usually do that?
Which pair of hands are stronger and safer and more experienced?
Okay.
There we go. All the evidence is on the table. It's usually me. So
you
hands
wide
off.
Answer.
It's all
you
me.
You wide answer.
No, come on.
The sad thing is we spent like so long rehearsing that. Please, can we go climbing? Talkback Mountain. Oh, what was that?
Hip Shake Jerk.
Of course.
By the Quick.
The Free Quick. Frame.
Here at, Talkback Mountain. See, I've got nothing written in front of me. You know why? Because it's Richard Marsland's choice. This is Marsland.
That's right. That's what it's called.
I want to see you reenact that poster. Wasn't that what you were going to do for our website? The This Is England poster?
That's right, with all the kids standing there, all the skinheads.
Mm-hmm. In the braces. Mm-hmm.
Great fashion from like 83. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where we are right now. This is Marsland. So many phone topics.
A lot of pressure.
How many has he got? Weren't you checking out his...
Well, I'll get to those. Once we hear what his are, I'll tell you some of the ones I saw on his desk that I bet he doesn't want to read out.
All right, so you're giving us a choice today, Richard.
We had a few, because there were so many positive pokey stories.
Okay.
Good news, that's one. Pokies writing that news. Down.
Favourite cover band names.
Favourite cover band name, yes, writing that down, yep.
Worst birthday ever.
Worst birthday ever.
That's just three I've got in the mix.
So is that all the ones you're going to claim? Okay, well then why is it that on your desk I also saw Whose Hand Is That, Steam Room Antics, and Who Do You Think's Into It?
I've got stories for all three of them. In fact, they're the same story, as a matter of fact. Whose Hand Is That? They're into it in the steam bath.
We're not doing Whose Hand Is That. We're going to let you choose, people. Positive pokey stories, right? Are there any of them? Have you got one?
I've got a positive gambling story.
Yeah.
This is interesting. On the holidays, I took a cab. He gave me a tip for a race. Mm. And normally you go, yeah, okay, whatever. But I thought, no, I'm gonna follow this guy up.
Yeah, yeah.
Race 6 Bendigo came through like a trooper.
Boom.
Right. Made some bread on it. It was fantastic. Man. He also gave me the trifecta, which I lost all my money on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
In the same race, but still, good tip.
What did you have to give him in return? Just your virginity, as per usual. How many times has he given that away?
Every week.
He's given it away on air about five times.
How do people keep falling for that?
Okay, favourite cover band names. Gee, that's tough.
My friend was a drummer in a U2 cover band called Zootu.
Nice.
Combination of Zuropa and
U2. Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah,
also, one of my favourites that I've seen, and they are an ABBA cover band, but they do hard rock versions, and they're called Metabica.
Oh, that's not bad.
They're doing the rounds now and again.
There used to be a New Zealand band in the early 80s called Blam Blam Blam. Very good.
Right.
There was a cover band that used to do their songs called Blam 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 Blam. I thought that was going, it's quite hard to say.
Who, isn't there an Australian comedian who kicked off the Devo cover band called Davo?
Is that true?
Yes.
Called Davo.
I think there was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that was, but apparently legendary.
All right, that's topic number two. And third one, worst birthday. Okay, what's brought that on, Richard?
I talked to a friend the other day. Happy birthday to him. Had to go to the doctors and they discovered a skin cancer on his forehead.
Hey. Yes, yes.
Everything's fine. It's benign. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. But still, for those 24 hours,
yeah, not much.
Not
fun.
Pretty. Not a great birthday.
Well, I have five siblings, but four have had a birthday this year. I'm one from four. I've remembered one. The other three, by the wayside.
Well, you don't know what their names are.
No, I know what their names are. I just don't know how old they are or when they were born. So not looking good for them. And one of my sisters called me up and said, so no one rang. Normally one of you remembers, so no one remembered this year. Are you guys trying to tell me something? I said, who is this?
Oh, God. I had that thing you said with the skin cancer. I had to go and get one of those checked out over the break.
Ooh.
And I've gone in to see the doctor.
You don't see any sun.
No, that's the whole point. It's mystifying. How has this happened? Reflected light? Have I been looking at pictures of the sun? When I went to see that film Sunshine, did that somehow affect me? But it turned out to be nothing.
Great.
But I'm in there, and you don't know what it's going to be.
What was it? A cheesel?
It's just a shadow. But no, so this guy is sat me down. He hasn't said a word, and he's got a bit of an accent. I don't know what accent it was, but I'm going to sort of try and approximate
it. Where are you going?
And he's gone, this is his first words. He's looked at my chart, and then he's looked up and gone, thank God you are here.
There we go.
And then there's been like 10 minutes of questions about thank God you're here. Really, like really detailed ones. It's like, so do you know the scenarios before?
No, we don't.
Do they let you see what? No?
No, we don't.
So when you're putting the costumes on, surely you would notice.
Well, sometimes you can tell something.
You would be able to think of some jokes,
Look,
surely.
This is really hurting, actually.
I tell you where I saw
it's growing as we speak.
I saw you on the panel.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were sitting next to Uncle Arthur.
Okay, give
and I'm going, it's Glenn Robbins.
Whose hand is that?
Might be called Uncle Arthur.
Do you know Uncle Arthur very well?
Quite well.
How long have you been working with Uncle Arthur?
Probably the best part of 10 years. Look, this thing is
what is Uncle Arthur like?
It's covered my eye.
Does Uncle Arthur talk like Uncle Arthur?
Not all the time. Is there someone else I can see?
Yes. So, were you in Cracker Jack?
Look, I'll just cut it off myself.
It just went on and on like that.
Is that your story for Whose Hand Is That as well?
I didn't even know where we are.
Okay. Seems romantics.
To be too many topics.
Okay, that's the topics.
There's three in the mix.
Oh, you're acting like, yeah, that's really clear cut. My guess is no callers.
No, okay, ready? Positive pokey stories, Rich.
Yes.
Yeah. Go, what's the next one?
Favourite cover band
name. Favourite cover band name, we've covered that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Third.
Worst birthday ever.
And fourth?
Didn't have a fourth.
Who do you think's into it?
Who do you think's into it?
We'll and throw then, that. So we finish doing
prizes.
The callers.
Prizes.
And then we go, stick around for Will and Limo next.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how long it's going to take. Okay, prize music, please, Mr. Marsden. Yes, we've got actual prizes for once. How long can I stretch the sentence?
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen, who likes Kelly Clarkson? You like Kelly Clarkson. We've got her single Never Again sample product not for sale. Who likes City Homicide? You like City Homicide. Episode 5, it went to air September the 17th at 8:30 p.m. Who knows what antics that hunky McPherson got up to? Green Day? Blink 182? Jimmy Eat World? In a DVD? No? Yes! Riding in vans with boys could be yours.
Yes, one of those prizes is legal. Call us now with your positive pokey story, favourite cover band name, or hideous birthday.
Who do you think's into it?
1-333-53. That's enough bagpipes out of you. Thank you, Steve Earle. Copperhead Road, that's the song the sales department like to sing when they're taking the piss out of Ed Cavalier.
Yeah.
That's the best one to sing in the style of you, apparently.
Thank
you
very much. That's not how I sound.
Never actually heard you sing that one.
That one? It's not in my range.
Oh, I was hoping he's going to do it. Okay, we're up Talkback Mountain, and we've gone completely mad! That's right! Okay, steady on. More topics.
What was that last one?
More topics than would seem advisable. I don't know what we're doing. Let's just meet some of our listeners. That's what it's really about.
G'day, Kevin.
Oh, g'day, fellas. How are you?
Excellent. What are you having a swing at?
About 20 years ago, there used to be a Brisbane cover band by the name of Retro Toll.
Oh, beautiful.
The Jethro
Toll. Were they up to scratch?
Oh, man, I never got to see him. I was very disappointed. I was a bit of a Jethro Tull fan, but never got to see him.
Well, let's hope they get back together.
You can only hope, couldn't you? I mean, like, the world needs more, Grammy Award heavy metal, I suppose, cover bands.
Certainly does.
Absolutely right, Kevin. Everyone. Absolutely right.
I think we're going to give this man a prize. What's it going to be?
Hey, Kevin. What do you?
Hello.
Hey, mate, what do you want? You can have Blink-182, City Homicide, or Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, geez, the choice is endless. Oh, the wife's a bit of a Kelly Clarkson fan. So
there you go.
The wife.
Now, that one's not for sale, Kevin, so don't sell that one on. All right, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. G'day, Glenn. How are you?
Very well. Yourselves?
Excellent. Away you go, son.
Well, there's an actual band going around. They're from somewhere in Europe, and they're called Beatallica.
Oh, what do they do?
They do Beatles and Metallica songs together.
Oh, I'd laugh. Oh, wow.
Songs like Hey Dude.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing.
That's all the only one? Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their work's on YouTube, was it, Glenn?
I don't know about YouTube. I know that they've got their own website where you can download their music.
There you go.
All their lyrics and all that sort of thing.
Now, Glenn, I know you only really made that up just so you can have a go at these prizes.
Well, you're on to me, aren't you?
Well, City Homicide or Green Day and Blink 182?
Can you hear the crickets in the background?
Yeah.
You got no bar jar?
Well, yes, we do. Right, give that man bar jars.
You can have a bar jar, no. Glenn. I should warn you, you know, Daniel McPherson isn't in bar jars. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I would like to think that he's watched it.
All right.
We are going to have to box up one of these promos you hear on radio shows, you know, real radio shows where they have like, yes, more satisfied winners. Oh, what was the first one again?
Yes, everyone's a winner.
All right, thank you, Glenn. Kayla, how are you?
Kayla,
how are you?
Yep, I'm good.
I'm better.
What have you got to tell us about?
Well, actually, it happened about 2 weeks ago. My mum was in the pokies, and she calls me up and goes, guess what? I've won $2,000.
Oh, wow. Someone actually won some money.
And I got $200 from that. That's all that matters.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And what did you spend it on?
Bills.
Bills. Well, you know, the love doesn't stop there because you've got a choice of the Green Day Blink 182 DVD or last week's episode of City Homicide.
Totally go for the Green Day.
Okay, excellent work. Yep. Done well.
I've won a windfall of cash.
Jeez.
Now, where's that Bell catalogue?
Hello, Ash. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Excellent. Which topic are you having a crack at?
The bad birthdays.
Talk us through it.
My wife's birthday is on Saturday.
Yes.
And we're Jewish, and it's also Yom Kippur, which is a favourite time with your class.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I missed the last part. It's Yom Kippur, which... Which what?
Oh, Ash.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you saying you can't eat or drink or anything like that, Ash?
Or speak, apparently.
Oh, now,
okay.
Hang on. I know it's a bad line, Ash, but I think I just heard you say that you'd really like the DVD of City Homicide.
Hold on.
I thought so. I thought that's what I heard.
Yom Kippur. There's so many things you're not supposed to do on Yom Kippur. That's right. I remember a friend of ours who's a film producer. We got a very good impersonation of Steven Spielberg to leave a message on his machine on Yom Kippur.
Bad.
So you got to call me back in like 5 minutes.
And he did.
Really? Broke
it. He did. That's what I heard.
Oh, naughty boy.
All right. We're celebrating Yom Kippur here at Triple M.
Thank you, everyone.
And yeah, I couldn't follow any of that, but it was another fantastic Marsland special.
Good on your riches.
In the next hour, this bloke, tried to get him in before.
Yeah, but he was sick.
He's back, I think his leg's back on.
Fantastic.
It's the writer of the Saw movies and star of them, Lee Whannell.
Get this.
Warm, professional, and very friendly.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't because I want to.
Triple M is rock.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
Courtesy of that Nissan Navara and its huge pulling power, it's the second hour of Get This Around the Nation, please. A polite round of applause for Lee Whannell, screenwriter, actor, fan about town.
Thank you, Nation.
Now, I know you weren't well the last time we had Angus Sampson come in, and I think he answered most of the questions we were going to ask.
Exactly.
You.
He can answer for me. He's been living my life. I think he's assumed my identity for a while there.
Have you got some sort of company with Guzzy Sampson? Are you guys a partnership? What is the deal?
Well, he likes to think so. No, he has this sort of office space that in Fitzroy that he uses, and I've been using it for the last week. But we've always wanted to do something together in kind of an unofficial way. Like, let's write a film together, but both of us can't seem to get it together to do it.
Surely there's parts of Guzzi's body that could be sawn off. I'm thinking, in a film.
Yeah, for sure. Those lips could go.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think,
you know.
Tell you what.
Now, it's not really a radio gag, that one. But.
Did I? We don't care on this show.
It's the most visual show on radio, Lee. We pride ourselves on that.
What about, is there Saw 4? Is there really Saw 4?
There is. Not only is Saw 4 coming out, I don't know whether they release it after its release date in the States, but it comes out October 31st in America.
Right.
I'm not sure here, but then not only is Saw 4 happening, but early next year, they're going to start shooting 5 and 6 back to back. So it's officially it's creeping up towards that club.
That's Rocky
of like
territory.
Yeah, it's well in the horror genre, you've got your Freddy, you've got your Jason. It's creeping up there, which is kind of. It's kind of flattering in a way, you know.
Freddy got to 7, did he?
Hang on.
Include the Jason
New Nightmare one? Wasn't numerically named.
Yeah, no,
so I'm not sure whether there was an 8.
Series. And then Halloween stopped and started again, and now they've gone back to the beginning.
Right, they've just did... Rob Zombie just did a remake of the first Halloween.
Yes,
Zombie did.
Yeah.
Sensitive treatment, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you know, who I think the Jigsaw character should really tackle next is... Whoever's playing this jazz flute, I think really it's time to put it to bed once and for all. Plenty to talk about in this hour of Get This on Triple M. That's Fall Out Boy. Thanks for the memories here at Get This on Triple M. And I think the show's really working quite well in its new time slot.
Ask Peter Beattie.
Well, I don't have time to ask.
Ask Steve Brex.
Okay. Well, why would I want to ask Steve?
Ask Bob Carr.
Okay, well, I don't have time.
Ask Jeff Gallop.
Who is that? We don't know who that is.
Ask the Labor Party.
Well, the whole Labor Party.
Ask Steve Brex.
You said Braxy earlier. I mean,
ask Peter Beattie.
Well, he's retired as well.
Ask Jeff Gallop.
Okay, we don't know who Gallop is.
Ask Bob Carr.
Please, can we lose that?
What?
Jesus. Let's ask Lee Winnell.
Hello, sir.
It's got more sense. Lee, we were talking about the Saw movies.
Yes.
Now, okay, the first one, you were in that. You wrote that. Everyone knows that. Now, as we progress down the series, how involved are you?
The second two I wrote, but wasn't... I was stupid in that I didn't know the films obviously were going to progress to sequels, otherwise I wouldn't have killed off my character. And believe me, I fought at production meetings. I was like, what if he was cloned? They go into the room, DNA. They did it with Ripley in Alien.
Right.
Remember they killed her at the end of Alien 3 and then brought her back through cloning.
That's right.
Yeah. But, okay, how does that... Does it matter, though, anymore? I mean, like, what happened with Jeffrey Rush in Pirates of the Caribbean? I'm pretty sure he died in the first one.
He was really dead in that first one. And in this, but apparently when you die, you just end up in a brothel.
Right, exactly.
For someone to come and find you.
Well, it's never stopped. Yeah, Freddie and Jason just keep going and going. But with this one, I wrote the film and ended up killing off my character at the end of the first one. So with the second two, I just wrote them and was... I'd sort of be there on set in a kind of, I guess, a weird kind of... executive producery typey, they would come to me and say, oh, you know, what do you think we should do here or something? So we were definitely involved, and James as well. Right. James, who directed the first film, he didn't direct the second two, but he was still sort of involved. It's been good because the producers actually credit it like, you know, we have the knowledge of it, of this universe. Yes, so if they have a question, they'll come to us.
Yes. Well, see, now it seems to me that if you didn't do them, someone else would just...
Absolutely.
...take over, and it would be... Jigsaw versus Predator. They're going to go down that path.
Have they asked Jigsaw to take anyone on?
Not yet, but I actually think that would be kind of cool. I'm waiting for, like, you know, Jigsaw 6 Mission to Moscow or whatever. Once it gets into official police academy territory is when I want to start thinking of zany location changes, like, this time he's in Russia or whatever.
Well, what about Jigsaw versus Andy McDowell? I'd love to see him have a crack at her. She's been getting away for ages, getting away with it.
Jigsaw Down Under.
Jigsaw Down Under.
Yes.
Nice.
Versus Kangaroo Jack.
There's a great history of American sort of film franchises and TV shows visiting Down Under.
Don't worry about that.
I particularly remember, do you guys love The Facts of Life Down Under was a highlight for me.
What happened there? Right. It had a Crocodile Dundee sort of character in it.
I do remember that, I can't remember the character's name. God, see, Angus would be good for this, but she killed the bad guys by throwing a boomerang at them across Sydney Harbour.
Makes sense.
They always found a way to incorporate the boomerang. And it was always, those travel shows were always about someone losing their luggage and a microfilm ending up in the luggage, like when Family Ties visited London.
That's right. There's a lot of microfilm work.
Well, I got the DVD, Lee, of Love Thy Neighbour down under.
Yes.
He moves to Blacktown in Sydney,
right.
And there's not 1 second I can play on the show. I got it, and I was like, here we go. Here come the clips. He arrives at the airport, meets an Asian man. There's nothing we can play at that.
Gotcha.
There's nothing. 6 episodes, not a word.
That's right, because we were going, well, surely the plot can only be that the two blokes move by coincidence to Australia and end up living next to each other. Or he's next door to an Aboriginal family.
Yeah, no.
Surely it has to be one of those two. And what was the answer?
The answer is that he hates Australians, all of them, any
Everyone.
Of them. He doesn't care which one.
Gotcha.
And then he meets an Italian. He can't believe his eyes or his ears.
Well, I don't think, okay, that's got nothing to do with Lee.
Sorry, it's fine. Hey, I like to diverge.
You for that.
No, no.
Well, we'll drag you back to your own career momentarily. Next, I'll get this. That'd be, yes, the Flowers. Sorry, I nearly said Ice House.
Yeah. I don't know. Flowers, very different band.
All right, let's get this on Triple M. In case you're wondering, Lee Whannell, screenwriter, actor, is with us. It's your chance, Lee, to drop a few names, because when Angus Sampson comes on, they just tumble from him.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it
Lou
happens.
Ferrigno.
I've met Lou.
Lou Ferrigno, the original Hulk.
I actually met Lou at this amazing thing. They have these huge fan conventions over in the States where it's like basically, you know, they can get 100,000 of these people, sort of 40-year-old virgins, who are all real-life versions of the comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Oh, that's right.
Like, I will now return to my comic book store where I dispense with the insults.
And do they have a lot to say to you, Lee?
Yeah, they do. It's amazing. James and I have been to, we've racked up a fair few of them. They kind of set you up on a table and you have a few sort of photos of yourself and these kids queue up, and it's really humbling actually because they come along dressed as the characters.
Right.
I mean, you think it's really special until you look over and it's like an extra from Deep Space Nine has a queue longer than yours, and you're like, okay, obviously we're not that special. But I remember sitting there and I heard that the bad guy from Mad Max 2, played by Vernon Wells, Wes.
Oh, yes.
I had heard that he was at this convention we were at, and I was like, oh, I'd love to meet him, and I kept signing away, and then I hear this voice say, I'll have one. And at that stage, I was so tired. I was like, who do I make it out to? No, I don't really want one. I look up and it's Vernon.
Wow.
And I was so amazed to meet, because I'm such a huge Mad Max fan, especially Mad Max 2.
Yes.
He took me over to what I can only call celebrity death row. It's a bunch of guys lined up with tables, and he's like, Lee, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. This is Chris. And I'm looking at him and I vaguely recognize him. It was the guy from The Blue Lagoon. Christopher Atkins.
Yeah.
And I move along. He moves me along to the next table. He's like, Lee, another good friend of mine, David. This guy I had no idea. I was looking at him. I was like, okay, he kind of looks like a real estate agent. I looked down at his photos. It was David McNaughton from American Werewolf in London.
Oh, right.
Who now makes a living.
David Norton.
David Norton. Yes. Sorry, not McNaughton. I apologize. And got to get the details. And so this is where these guys kind of go to live out their careers. They've done one thing, and then they can go to these conventions and make thousands of dollars signing.
But are there a lot of Blue Lagoon enthusiasts still out there, Lee?
Pirate movie.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys will pay, and it becomes a thing, not even of I'm a fan of that show. It's just, oh my God, that's that guy from the Blue Lagoon. Won't that be funny if I get his autograph?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The last guy was Lou, and I introduced myself to him, and I said, oh, can I grab a photo, Lou? And he's like, it's $20 or whatever. So I give him the money, and then when Vernon said, oh, this is the guy who made Saw, he leapt over the table and grabbed my money. He's like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I thought you were one of them. And then he hands me a DVD, and he's like, you know, I still do movies.
And what was the DVD of?
It was it's a little highlight reel, Lou's highlight reel. Amazing stuff.
Really?
Yeah, Ferrignomania is coming back. You
what
know
a Hulk.
Someone was coming out here for a convention. We got terrible news yesterday,
yes.
Lee. One of our heroes on this show, one of my all-time heroes, Adam West, who played Batman.
Of course.
A much funnier actor than people realised at the time. He was coming out here.
And a better Batman than Val Kilmer.
Sure. Than any of them. He was going to come on the show, sit in that chair, and co-host an hour, get this.
I had so many questions about the Penguin's gold tank. It was going to take hours.
And we found out yesterday he's not coming to Australia anymore because his house has burnt down.
Yeah,
Stately Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
Riddler.
Unbelievable.
Riddler. It's got to be the Riddler.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take that as an excuse, but I think that is heartbreaking because, I mean, he's one of those guys that you could really keep. I'd say the full 2 hours you could keep Adam West here for.
Just 24 hours all West. And who have we're getting someone else instead, though?
Billy West from Futurama.
Billy West, yeah, Ren and Stimpy, and yeah, the voiceover artist. Yes. Great. Excellent. Mm.
Another West. Not quite. I mean, he's great,
yes,
but he's not Adam West. Yeah.
It's the West that Adam West rejects. What? We're getting the Billy West.
Okay. In.
That's all right.
I can feel puns. I can feel puns arriving quickly. Go to a song. Here, get this, Triple M. I'm a believer. That'll be Smash Mouth. It's Get This. It's the second hour. Lee Winnell is here. You know him from the Saw films and other films. He's back in the country doing some sort of Australian...
I am. I'm acting in an Australian horror film.
Oh, yes.
That I'm hoping isn't going to join the that back of the video store league of great Australian horror films, such as Razorback and Houseboat Horror.
Houseboat
in
the Horror. Cut? No, no, yeah. just Cut.
Yeah.
Was that the one with Kylie Minogue?
Geez, I was disappointed by Cut.
Yeah.
But, I hope it's going to be more Wolf Creek than Houseboat Horror.
I tell you what I found was the problem with Cut, and I don't want to spoil the ending of the movie. So it's spoiling.
I don't think there's much danger that people are going to run out. I don't think they did when it came out.
You know what it was? For the first three quarters of the movie, it was a whodunit. Mm. And then the answer was a ghost. You know what I mean? Imagine if it was like an Agatha Christie and the answer was a ghost.
Yeah.
You could just feel, although the audience, I think, had stormed out before that twist.
Do you remember that Australian horror film that was released in the 80s? You guys might be able to help me with the title, where they had a chicken walk out of the cinema. Where if you were, the ending was supposed to be so hardcore that if you couldn't handle it, you had to follow the yellow line out of the cinema.
That was actually an innovation that was come up with in the late 50s by a man called William Castle, the king of the gimmicks, and he had what was called Coward's Corner in the cinema. Right. What would happen is 5 minutes before the end of the movie, a subtitle would come up, the movie would stop, and they go, the ending of this movie is so terrifying that if you want to go and stand in Coward's Corner and they had a yellow path on the floor of every cinema, then you'll get your money back. So you had the choice of, I can get my money back, but I have to make a dick of myself in Coward's...
And that's exactly what... And this film, I remember, it was Blood Moon. It was
Blood Moon!
Blood Moon.
Correct.
And even if you watch the video, it comes up the title saying, if you have to stop watching now, please do so. And I remember at my local cinema, the Knox City Twin, the yellow line led to a chicken coop where you had to go and stand. It was a chicken coop.
But see, the problem is for that idea to really work... You need to have an audience. I don't know that it really took off.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Blood Moon was packing him in that summer.
Some lonely chickens.
Okay, now the film, we haven't mentioned the name of the film. It's called Dying Breed.
It is called Dying Breed. It's how can I describe it? I guess it's kind of an Aussie version of Deliverance. The Tasmanian Tourism Commission will really be behind this one. Four intrepid young travellers go to Tasmania and are set upon by inbred cannibals.
Oh, fantastic.
And which side of the fence are you on? Inbred side or the young traveller?
I think I'm one of the travellers. I believe so. So okay. I'm one of the guys running away from the inbred cannibals.
Okay, inbred cannibals, does that fit into our topic today? Because we're talking about things you just can't watch in movies where you have to turn away from the screen. Now, sawing someone's leg off, that might be an obvious one. Let's not go there. I have the problem with the syringes.
Oh, man.
Even though I'm constantly having...
A lot of people have that because I've heard a lot of people fainted during the Pulp Fiction scene, which was the extreme close-up.
Oh, yes.
I actually tried to top that in Saw 2. I thought of that. It's interesting you say that because I was like, everyone hates syringes. I'm going to have a scene where someone is thrown into a pit of syringes.
Oh, no.
Like one of those IKEA pits full of plastic balls.
Yes.
And is literally up to their shoulders in sort of dirty used syringes. Yeah. So there you go. It's the ultimate syringe phobic scene is in Saw 2.
Well, that is a perfect example, but it just doesn't have to be violent stuff.
No,
I mean, what Ed Cavill?
I can't watch kissing. In
cannot
films.
Watch kissing.
I can watch Short Bus till I'm blue in the face, but
so
I can't.
Sex, you don't have a problem with it's kissing.
Sort of. Yeah, it's the slow moving in as the two actors, and then the lip locking. I just and they never like each other. It's
right.
Just not.
See, have you thought of that?
It's just
Jigsaw pashing on with someone.
I haven't yet, but this notebook isn't here for no reason.
Yeah, Jigsaw and Meg Ryan.
but Lee, I mean, I guess. Bit of a cliche question, but is there anything that you find yourself turning away from?
I always found the thing that used to get me when I was a kid was the scene in Evil Dead where a pencil is shoved into that woman's ankle and twisted around.
No need for that.
For some reason, ankles always get me if someone like breaks their ankle completely or their foot gets me.
That scene put so many people off ankles and right. Mr. Marsden, what can't you watch?
I can't stand it. And this is, it's made the film unwatchable for me, but I bought Trainspotting on VHS. Back in the day.
Right.
And at the end, they have a voiceover come in saying, stay tuned after the credits for some more for some more trailers.
Yeah.
But it comes in right on the final scene when Spud opens up the locker.
Oh.
Keep watching for more trailers from Village Rouge. And it was the most annoying thing.
Okay.
And just totally kills the film. Maybe not that particular film company. maybe not. In fact, absolutely not
and
that
we
film
never
company.
Saw Richard
not even,
again.
Not,
yeah.
not that actual
they
are, film
they're
company.
Really good. I've
they're
heard.
Fantastic.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. And Syriana has a has some interesting
scenes. Oh, the nail scene.
With fingernails that I can't.
Honourable mention to the scene in is it American History X where the guy's forced to put his mouth.
That's not even describe it. That's everyone's top of the list. It could just be Celine Dion.
That'll do.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us a call. What can't you watch in the movies? 133353.
Get this. Silly games that I cooked up on the run.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
It's Get This. It is. Around the nation on Triple M. I'll just say it again in case I'm talking over an ad break. It's Get This on Triple M. Lee Whannell is here, impressed by the professionalism. He's always on the lookout for new movie ideas. Just go with me, Lee, even if that's not true.
It's very true.
It's very true.
Thank you, Lee.
What is the kind of stuff people can't watch that they have to turn away from on the screen? Who's got a suggestion here?
G'day, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Excellent, mate. What do you have to turn away from?
Anything to do with eyes.
Oh, yes.
Now, Lee's done it to me in number two.
Oh, yeah, the opening scene of number two, big one for iPhobics.
Yeah.
And Hostel with the blowtorch.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, Louise. See, what number two needed then was Rodney Dangerfield. You know, good luck with those eyes. They're always trying to slip Rodney into a film.
I've had a hook through my eye and it's not fun.
There you are.
Okay.
That's the one we're looking for. Thank you, Michael. Oh, blimey. All right, thank you, sir. Hello, Melissa. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you guys?
Excellent. What do you have to turn away from?
Spiders.
Oh, spiders.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And which arachnophobia, is that the one?
That made me walk out of the cinema.
Yeah. Why'd you go and see it if you had a fear of spiders?
Dallas Webb made me squirm as well.
Which one?
The opening Dallas scene Webb. Of Raiders of the Lost Ark, big one for arachnophobes. And aren't all the spiders actually real in arachnophobia? I think it was just pre-digital.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to hang up. Yuck.
Hey, except for the actual one, the one that's the size of...
No, the big one at the end is a
an
real...
Afghan.
It's from New Zealand.
That's a real spider.
Lives down a cave in New Zealand called the bird-eating spider. Yep. Pretty descriptive name, that one. The bird-eating spider.
I know what he's into. Oh, wow. All right, thank you, Melissa. Hello, Josh. How are you?
How are you, Ed?
Excellent, bro. What do you have to turn away from?
Oh, there's a scene in Master and Commander where one of the crew members is getting some surgery done on his head to remove a bullet. And now, it's not so much the surgery, it's the tools that are being used. I think the tools were something like a spoon, a chisel, and maybe even a butter knife.
Yeah, there you go. Pretty standard in the old days.
I think if you look closely, Russell Crowe's using his Oscar to dig it out as well.
I've also got another one, guys.
Yes.
There's a scene in Million Dollar Baby where Hilary Swank gets her nose broken in the fight, and Clint Eastwood has to put it back into place. I cringe at that one.
Yeah. Shoulders getting popped back in. That hurts. I think Keanu Reeves is the replacements that happened.
Yeah, it's fun for the sound effects department. On your films, Lee, do you love to go in on Foley Day when they're doing the sound effects?
Yeah, it is amazing. What's really amazing is the auditions for a Saw film, because I've sat in on them a couple of times before and it's just actor after actor coming in. It's like, hi, nice to meet you. Okay, go ahead whenever you're ready. Oh, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And then you're like, okay, great job. Don't call us, we'll call you. And then there's a whole day of this. I didn't really believe your leg was getting chopped off. No, I just... Maybe a finger at most.
I think we can disgust our listeners one more time. Who is it going to be?
Jane, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Excellent. What do you have to turn away from?
Oh, I can't stand anything near a cliff or the top of a building where they get really close to the edge. I go back to my seat and get all dizzy. Oh, it's awful.
What? No, a great scene in one film that really actually induced that for me was the first Bourne Identity, where he was hanging off the sort of catwalk on the edge of the building.
Yes.
That was the way they shot that was amazing. It actually gave me vertigo.
Is it the first Bourne Identity where he leaps down a stairwell on top of somebody else and he uses them to break his fall?
He dives off a stairwell and falls six stories with someone else and then lands on them and gets up and he's fine.
And he's fine, and it's quite a funny one to slow down frame by frame, I'm telling you. All right, thank you, Jane. Good choice. We have something queued up that always gets people turning away from the screen. The Prime Minister next on Triple M. Here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Lee Whannell, filmmaker, is with us. And now, how long have you been out of the country?
2.5 years now. It's been a while.
Guess what? John Howard, still the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I can't. What's been interesting for me is coming back and seeing how the tide has turned. How a lot of people are going against him now. That's been one thing I sort of missed.
It might turn round though, because you know what Australia's like. If they go too far in one direction, back the other way. But is he going to retire? What's going to happen?
Well, I don't know.
We taped this interview off the telly just the other night.
Prime Minister, there's been a lot of talk about this meeting with Alexander Downer.
No, look, Kerry, I'm not going to get into the detail of my conversation with Mr. Downer. I'm not.
Well, could you sum up the meeting for us in a word?
I had a conversation with him. He had a meeting. He got views. He communicated those views to me. He acted correctly, he acted decently. You know what my reaction to all of these things has been over the past few days. There is simply nothing to be gained by my trying to answer to you precisely what may have been said in a meeting that I didn't attend. I know what Mr. Downer said to me. I know what was in my mind when I spoke to him. I've told you there is really nothing to be gained, and we're both wasting our time going into it any further.
Well, that's 115 words, but you can understand why people would be interested
in in the future we have for the people who are viewing this program.
Well, sadly, Mr. Howard, it's the bill followed by a repeat of Birds of a Feather.
Well, I mean, give us a break.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, I know it's appalling, but Mr. Howard, is the pressure getting to you?
No, Kerry, it's not.
Well, some of your recent statements have been quite eccentric.
I heard Peter Beattie say the other day that he's lost interest in politics.
Peter Beattie? Well,
Peter's an ambitious man. One day he will lead the Liberal Party.
Right.
I believe that he is my logical successor.
Okay. You're also quoted as saying you'd like to fight the entire campaign dressed in a Borat-style mankini.
There's a lot of things I want to do.
Right.
And I have resolved very much to fight this election campaign like none other.
And in order to capitalise on the fact that many of your colleagues are more popular than you, you're changing your name by deed poll to John Howard Costello Downer Turnbull Brough. Mm. So quite a mouthful to remember on election day, so punters
so
will
be voting for Howard Costello Downer Turnbull Brough.
Well, that sounds insane. Mr. Howard, I think you need to re-energise your party. How would you describe your dynamic team for election 07?
Look, we're like any other group of politicians.
No, that's pathetic, Mr. Howard. Repeat after me. We can win this election.
We can win this election.
I want to stay.
I want to stay.
I love politics.
I love politics.
And some nauseating cliche to end on.
And we owe it to the future of our children.
Oh, very good. Now, what about sexing up your message, your vision for life after the election?
But look, can I just say something about that? I've given a lot of thought to this.
Right.
My position in relation to the next election, and this is what I'll be telling the Australian people, is very simple. If the Australian people are good enough and kind enough to re-elect me again, there are a lot of things I want to do, and I would want to approach those things with enormous energy. But I would expect well into my term, and after those things have been implemented and bedded down, I would probably, I'm certainly form the view well into my term.
Right.
That it would make sense for me to retire.
So, hang on, your promise to the Australian people is, if re-elected, you will retire.
I've thought this through.
Yes.
And what I'm saying to the Australian people is, well into my term, I would come to the conclusion that it would be in the interests of everybody if I retired.
So that's the carrot you're dangling. Vote for me and I'll definitely piss off.
I think that's good.
It's a terrific idea.
You're very welcome.
Finally, Mr. Howard, I take it you've heard Triple M's Get This program.
Mm.
They say the show often manipulates people's voices to change their meaning.
Well, of course it does, even this interview.
So who will you be voting for on election day?
Rudd. Gillard.
Prime Minister, thanks for your time.
Peter Garrett.
Oh, look. It wasn't changed, was it? Oh, here he is now, Peter Garrett. We'll be back to wind things up in a moment. I'll get this at Triple M. Oh, thank you. US Forces, that'd be the Shadow Minister of the Environment here at Get This on Triple M. Now, we've got Lee Winnell with us. He's got a million stories, but we've got a limited amount of time. How much time do we have? Mr. Marsland?
We've got about 45 seconds.
That's not enough time.
Possibly
to have
a minute.
Oh, wow. Stephen Segal story. Have you been working with Stephen Segal?
I haven't been working with him, unfortunately, but I did attempt to contact him. I met somebody who was a manager for these people who make personal appearances. Those guys I was talking about before. Yeah. They have managers who book them in. This guy had a mobile phone full of, he had all these numbers, Gary Busey.
Ooh, wow.
One of them was Stephen. I said, give me that phone. It was 2 a.m. I'd had a few. I said, give me that phone. I want to call Stephen. So I called him. Now, I spoke to his personal assistant, and I pitched to him, but I believe he was right next to her, and I said, I want to pitch Stephen a movie. And off the top of my head, I said, it's called Deadly Violence. and she's like, what? What's it about? And I said, it's a martial arts action comedy about personal trainers. And there's a marvelous fight scene involving free weights. I've secured Margot Kidder for the female lead. Is Stephen in or is he out? And I believe that a deal nearly happened on the phone at 2 a.m.
I'm sure he would have been sitting there going, Deadly Violence, I think I've done that one. I'm sure a couple of times I've done that one. Thanks for sitting in for the whole hourly. We're going to have to get you back.
Absolutely. It flies by. This is it's very quick. Yeah.
It certainly does. Are we that late, are we? All right. Well, our key phrase today, thanks to everyone who called, I guess Kim Beazley is retiring today, at least from the house. Let's have his theme music.
Right on you, Kim.
Served as well. Music for future use by Stephen Segal, Mr. Marsland. Thank you, Lee. Our guest tomorrow is Andrew Mercado. We'll be talking telly, all thanks to the Nissan Navara. I think you'll find it's Ute of the Year.
Now it's allowing you know.
I believe he was right next to her, and I said, I want to pitch Stephen a movie. And off the top of my head, I said, it's called Deadly Violence. and she's like, what? What's it about? And I said, it's a martial arts action comedy about personal trainers. And there's a marvelous fight scene involving free weights. I've secured Margot Kidder for the female lead. Is Stephen in or is he out? And I believe that a deal nearly happened on the phone at 2 a.m.
I'm sure he would have been sitting there going, Deadly Violence, I think I've done that one. I'm sure a couple of times I've done that one. Thanks for sitting in for the whole hourly. We're going to have to get you back.
Absolutely. It flies by. This is it's very quick. Yeah.
It certainly does. Are we that late, are we? All right. Well, our key phrase today, thanks to everyone who called, I guess Kim Beazley is retiring today, at least from the house. Let's have his theme music.
Right on you, Kim.
Served as well. Music for future use by Stephen Segal, Mr. Marsland. Thank you, Lee. Our guest tomorrow is Andrew Mercado. We'll be talking telly, all thanks to the Nissan Navara. I think you'll find it's Ute of the Year.
Now it's allowing you know.